I have a word for you tonight. The kids, I tell you, you know, don't have a lot of kids here tonight, do we? But, you know, Bobby's not here. So, hate to disappoint you, but, hey, in the spirit of Bobby, I tell you what. You know, there, I have this friend, and, you know, there's lots of people. We probably know lots of people that, because of COVID, they've lost their jobs. Some people have, and I have this friend. He worked at a calendar factory, and he lost his job, not because of COVID. He did get fired, and I believe it was, you know, I think it was very unfair that he did get fired from his job there at the calendar factory, because, I mean, all he did was took a day off, and so some of you might have went over your head there, but amen. So that's your joke for the night.
We got it. I got it.
Hallelujah. Well, tonight, you know, I've been I've kind of been meditating on for a while in John, and specifically John 13, chapters 13 through 17. And I just wanted to share some things with you that that the Holy Spirit ministered to me while I have been there studying that chapters. But, you know, I think it pertains, you know, we're in a crazy time right now. And really, right during John 13 through 17, they was in a crazy time too. I mean, this is right before Jesus is about to be betrayed by Judas, and he's about to be taken away there in chapter 18. And I see that he's instructing his disciples during that time, and I see two main themes that he's talking to his disciples about. Number one is love, and number two, he's talking about the Holy Spirit that's about to come. And what I see and get out of this can help us, I think, in the day that we're living in too, and especially the love. Man, I'm seeing Christians that are not being very lovely during this time, and I think it's prophesied there in Matthew. Let's look there, which, I mean, I know we're all so familiar with this because we've been seeing it talked about a lot because of the end days. But in Matthew chapter 24, I just want to read this and bring this to your remembrance and see how this correlates with the time we're living in. But there in chapter 24, verse 3, of course, you know, here are the disciples asking, and at they sat at the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall we see these signs, these things be, and what shall be the signs of your coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you do not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." And, you know, we've talked about it. These are, you know, like birthing pains. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Boy, aren't we seeing that? "And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many." Let me say that something here, and I know I discussed it with my wife too. Many false prophets. I tell you what, there's many people doing a lot of prophesying right now, and giving and telling things, and I just say, be leery a little bit. Just don't take everything hook, line, and sinker, because it says right here there will be many false prophets. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that they're all false, by no means. There's definitely people out there that are doing some prophecy, and I definitely agree with some of them. But we're gonna discuss it a little bit later too. I mean, we all have the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit can speak to all of us, and He can bear witness with your spirit. So just keep that in mind. I'm not saying all these prophets are wrong, but just be aware that there are false prophets out there during this time. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You want to know when the end comes? Well, there it is. When that is, who knows? But I tell you what, I remember one of my instructors down there at Rhema, you know, he's talking about when Jesus is coming back, you know, when is it? Whether it's tomorrow, whether it's next week, whether it's next year, whether it's 10 years from now, we should still be the same, doing the same thing. I always kept that in mind. I mean, we should, as Christians, still be the same, whether he's coming back tomorrow or whether it's 10 years from now. Let that soak in for a little bit. But I think that's what this here that I see in John 13 through 17, and that's why I think is so important. Like I say, there's two main themes that I see. One is love. He's reminding in Matthew or in 1 Corinthians 13:5 in the Passion Bible, it says, love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. And what got me started on this is because, man, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I've been kind of irritated about a few things and, you know, a little bit offended about certain things going on. Matter of fact, I was driving home, a week or two ago, and I don't know if you guys feel it, but there is just a spirit out there of just darkness, just of anger and hate, and I think sometimes if we're not careful, it just comes upon us. Because, you know, I was driving home and I was just particularly irritated. I just felt angry, and I'm just not usually that away. Matter of fact, I was on the phone to my wife there, and I think I snapped at her a little bit about something. It was just, and that's just not like me. I mean, I just don't get angry at my wife, you know. But I was just, for some reason, and I can't explain it. I had nothing really to be angry about, but it made me do a little checkup, you know, on love here, and maybe that's why I've been meditating. Maybe that's why this message came to me, because maybe I'm just preaching to myself tonight. I don't know, but maybe you guys are just fine. But here at John 13:34, let's just go here. We're going to spend some time in John, if that's okay. But I think this is going to help us a little bit in the time we're living in. And really, this message, it's the same from the very beginning. It's really nothing new. It's just sometimes as Christians, we try to complicate things. And I think the church has kind of got off a little bit of making the main thing the main thing. A lot of people are thinking right now the world's being judged because of what's going on, but I really think the church is kind of being judged myself. I'm not prophetic, I don't know, but I think he's kind of shaking up and telling the church to get back to the main thing. we've spent so many years of the Bless Me message, and yes, I totally agree. You know, Lord bless you. He's blessed me beyond measure. But I think we've been instead of looking at the world and looking at the people around us, we've just been looking at three individuals, me, myself, and I. How can I be blessed? What do you have for me? But I think that's not what the gospel's about. John, we're in John 13:34. It says, Jesus talking, says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And then over in chapter 15, you know, he didn't say, I'm making a suggestion, maybe things would be a little better. No, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. You know, it's a command. You know, if you're in the military, you have a commander over you. If he tells you something, you know, I command you to do this, it's not a suggestion. It's you do it. I remember the boys in boot camp that they had the, you know, commander over them, their sergeant. By gosh, when we went down there and saw them in their graduation, they're totally different boys. I mean, they're walking the fine line. They're making sure they're not getting out of line or doing anything. I mean, because they know the consequences. And I wonder if we really know the consequences if we're not loving. You know, and I'm getting way off here, but, you know, I've always thought, you know, when we get to heaven, what you know, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat. What's the question? I mean, is he going to say, you know, did you follow the plan for me to, you know, or did you follow my command? Did you love your neighbor as yourself? Did you love one another? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the commandment we have. In John 15, and I'm going to start there in 10, says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you no more servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you my friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you. And then verse 17, I'm going to skip 16. We'll go back to that here in a little while. But these things I command you, that you love one another. You think he's trying to get something across to his disciples? I mean, when you see in the Bible something mentioned one time, you may not stick much stock in it, but when here in just a short period of time, the Lord's saying over and over and over, this I command you, that you love one another. I think it's of importance. And we see it through all the Gospels. In Mark, actually, Mark 12, we'll turn there. Mark 12, verse 30 and 31. Says, you shall, and well, he's talking, they're questioning about the, you know, the greatest commandments of all and so forth. And he says, verse 30, you shall love the Lord the God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. So I think maybe we should take heed to them, don't you think so? You know, before I became a Christian, I knew so-called Christians, that wasn't very lovely, I didn't think. So, you know, I thought they were just a bunch of hypocrites and mean and awful. So, you know, turn me off. And I think, you know, that's what he says. By this shall all know that you are my disciples. You know, I think the church has done more harm to get people away from the church by their actions and their love walk than anything else. Galatians 5, verse 13 and 15, and this is from the Passion Bible. It says, "Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit, but don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of opportunities in the natural realm. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all that we do. For love completes the laws of God. All of the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another." I know this is pretty sober and somber, isn't it? But I think he's trying to get across there in Matthew. Like I say, now, you know, the pastors are on vacation. Now, they're taking their kids with them, so they didn't have to leave instructions. But I know, you know, some of us with some older kids, we've been out on vacation before or going away, and we've left some of our kids at the house. Now, I remember just like, you know, when we've gone away, I remember one trip in particular, we were going to be gone 10 days. You know, our kids were high school age, teenagers, probably some of young adults, but we was gone 10 days going on a motorcycle trip. And before I left the house, we left some pretty good instructions. You know, like, if you use the oven, turn the thing off. We don't want the house burnt down. You know, we had a lot of girls in the house. Hey, use the curling iron, the straight iron, make sure it's unplugged. Don't leave it running when you leave the house, because, you know, these were some important instructions we leave, because we don't want to come home, the house burnt down, or, you know, they get left in there and die because of a fire or something. But when you're leaving, you know, your kids, you give some pretty important instructions. You want them to be safe. You want the house to be safe. Well, Jesus here, he's about to leave. He's not going to be on this earth anymore, so he's leaving some specific, important instructions to his disciples. One of them is to love. Love as I have loved you. Love one another. This is how people are going to know that you're my disciples. And I don't think that's changed. And we're going to see here, he's not just talking to them. Matter of fact, let's go there. John's in chapter 17. You know, this is right before he's going to leave, and he's praying to the Father. And he's praying for his disciples. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I mean, it is awesome. And I'll tell you what, if you take that prayer that he's praying and just personalize it, put your name in there, it's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. I've done that many a times. But I'm going to read part of it here. I'm going to start in verse chapter 17, verse 13. "And now come I to you," this is King James. I don't apologize. I like King James. I'm not going to apologize at all about it. "And now come to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that they should be taken out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Now here, neither pray I for these alone, but for them that also which shall believe on me through their word. That includes you and me. That they all may be one, as you, Father, art in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom you gave me, be with me where I am, that they may behold thy glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known thee, and these have known that they have sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let me repeat that part. That the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. It says there in Romans 5:5, that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that's where, you know, I don't think you can separate this love message that he's given us, that the commandment, without the Holy Spirit either. And he talks about the Holy Spirit, the important, that's part of the important instructions he also gave to the disciples there in John. If we look back in chapter 14, you know, God's not going to tell you to do something, command you to do something that you don't have the capacity to do. We may choose not to do it, but I'm telling you, you have the capacity, you have the God kind of love in you. If you're born again, that's the thing. And so many times, and my poor wife, I've said that to her too. Sometimes I said, you need Jesus. And some people, you know, they're whining, complaining, or worrying, or having difficulty with their love walk, and they say, well, you need Jesus, because if you have Jesus, if you have the Holy Spirit, it says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. That same love that God loved Jesus is in you. If you have him in you, it's in there. Now, whether you use it or not is totally up to you. But you have it. Love is a choice. It's plain and simple. Love is a choice. You can jump, scream, holler. But it is. Love is a choice. But it's there, and he can help you to manifest it, and we're going to see here. John 14, before I interrupt myself, 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So he has it here. So once you get born again, the Spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit, and that love of God, the same love that God had for Jesus, the same love that Jesus loved his disciples, it's in you. He's not going to tell you, command you to love one another and to love as he has loved you if you don't have the capacity. That would make him an unjust God. So you have it. It's there. It's in you. You just need to choose to use it and let it come out. That's where it comes in the fruits of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that. You know, we're so busy, you know, judging other people. And I see it big time now since all this is going on. But you know, Jesus, he did not come to judge the world. I'll prove it. So John 12. People think, well, wait a minute, Jesus judged everybody. No, he didn't. John 12, 44, unless he's a liar here, I don't know, but I don't think he's a liar. 12:44, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sees me sees him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hears my words and believes not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that receives me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So there's only one judge, God the Father. He's in the last day is going to judge. And we see that the prince of this world's already been judged. So the world, you know, basically has already been judged. I might add this too, you know, we're always talking about, you know, we got to fight the devil, you know, fight the devil. Well, really nowhere in the Word says that we got to fight the devil. It says that we resist the devil, but the only fight that the Bible talks about is fighting the good fight of faith. Thank you very much. But it is. Resist the devil, he'll flee. Devil has no authority over you, has no power over you, except for what you give him. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may deceive. You know, I had a good analogy of that today, sitting on my deck. I'm sitting on my deck this morning, having my coffee, and here come the deer. I love my backyard. I mean, the deer have been plentiful here lately. The same deer. There's two mama deers, I guess, or I don't know if they're both female, but they don't have their horns yet, so I can't tell. But there's two bit older ones, and there's three fawns. And they come around our yard quite often, and now they're actually staying. I mean, the other day they stayed probably 8 hours, the fawns did. And this morning they was there for 3-4 hours this morning. But here's what was interesting. The fawns were laying in the backyard, the three of them were laying there, and the two older ones, they're down about 2 yards down. You still see them. They're down there. And here comes a fox in the back. He comes running in the yard and comes up around by the fawns there and goes into the yard next to us, back into some of the high, he has some high flowers and different things, wildflowers, things hanging there. So the fox goes back there. Well, pretty soon, here comes the big deer's over. And they go into that yard where it's high, and pretty soon I see the big deer kind of lunge, and out comes the fox. He's high-tailing it out, going up between the houses out towards the street. But I thought, how amazing is our God? Because I'm thinking here are these deer, the old ones, they're over there, and you can call it what you want. You know, animals have an instinct, I guess. But they were over there. I don't believe they even seen the fox run through my yard. But they had a natural instinct to protect their young there. And they come over, and they shoo that fox away. And I'm thinking, If God can do that with animals, don't you think the Holy Spirit is going to help us, lead us and guide us and protect us if we'll just listen and be keen to him? Those animals, they have a keenness. They have a natural instinct to protect their young. And how they knew that fox was there is beyond me. Because, you know, I seen him run there, but he went in real quick and was hidden from my sight. And I'm, you know, maybe they did see him go in there. I don't know, but they sure got rid of him. That just made me think, you know, resist the devil and he will flee. They went after that fox and he flew. I mean, that fox was flying. Well, yeah, this morning I had deer, had fox, and then we had an owl, too. It's like, it was wild kingdom in my backyard. That's what I think, you know, we just keep thinking, man, the Lord just blessed us because we just love that stuff. So where was I before I interrupted myself? Okay. So Jesus, he didn't come to judge. But man, us as Christians, we can judge. We're quick to judge people. Because their view is not maybe like our view. We have our opinion about things. Their opinion doesn't line up with our opinion. So we're just going to be hateful and nasty at them. That's not what God told us to do. And pretty soon I'm going to talk about some things. And you're probably going to think you're nuts maybe. But Miss Adrian touched on a little bit there on Wednesday night prayer. So. But what is God's heart? He came to save the world. 1 Timothy 2:4 shows what God's heart was. It says that his will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's his will. That all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now we know that all aren't going to be saved. We know that all aren't going to come to the knowledge of the truth. But shouldn't that be our heart's desire, that all men would be saved, including all those people that we just really do not like right now? Because we know this sham that's going on to our nation, to this country, this agenda that these politicians have, that all these rich people with lots of money, they're trying to take away our freedoms and our rights. They irritate me quite a bit. Don't care much for them. But it was, I don't know, it's been months back, and I'd made mention to it that, you know, Lord's put on my heart to pray for these people. Pray for these people that are behind this. And you think, well, shoot, let's just pray that, you know, God strikes them down. Let's just kill them. Let's get rid of them. Our problems be over. Just get rid of them. But, you know, I can't help but think of Saul. I mean, look at him. He's out there persecuting, killing Christians. But look at what happened to him. You know, changed Paul, wrote most Testament, and just like, I mean, Paul's awesome. I mean, if I could be like Paul, I mean, everybody. But he was out killing Christians. And you think, well, it's impossible. How in the world would, you know, people like Soros or Zuckerberg or you know, Bezos or whatever his name is, how in the world? But wouldn't it be awesome if they had an encounter with God? I mean, in Proverbs, Proverbs 13:22 says, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. What a perfect time right now. This is the ideal time that the wealth of the sinner be laid up for the just. I mean, I just read there yesterday, saw a thing on, speaking of Zuckerberg, the Facebook founder, said his wealth was $100 billion. is what they're saying now, that he's worth $100 billion. This is a fairly young person. What if he had an encounter with God and turned away, you know, his life around? What could he do for the church world? You know, Buffett, Soros, all them idiots that we don't care that much for. But it's not our job to judge him, put him down. It's our job to pray for him, that the love of God would come to them. It's the love of God that brings men to repentance. It was for me. It wasn't because I looked at some other Christians because they weren't so lovely. But when God touched my heart, I changed. So I guess what I'm going to try to get across to you guys, let love be your perfect goal, your aim, the God kind of love, the divine love that can change all of it. Now, I'm not saying, don't mistake me tonight, love is not tolerance. We hate the sin. We hate the things that they're doing. We don't tolerate sin. We don't tolerate these things that they're doing. We don't say that, we don't say homosexuality is right. But we do love the homosexual. You understand me? All this garbage out there, the pedophiles and that. No, we hate that. God hates that. But we still got to believe and pray for these people that they turn their wicked ways. I mean, how much do you have to hate somebody? If you really believe in hell and the way hell is, how much you got to hate them to want them to be there? You're not much of a Christian if that's what you want. You're not what God intended you to be if that is your goal. Okay, let's get on something a little better here. God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us through this journey. Yes, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that was another instruction that I see in here that he's telling the disciples, that he says, hey, it's expedient. It's better that I leave than that I send the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's going to be in you. He's going to be with you. He's going to abide in you at all times. I can't be with you at all times. But the Holy Spirit is with us wherever we go. You know, it's like people say, you want to see the move of the Spirit? Here you go. He just moved it to the right. Now he's moved to the left because the Holy Spirit's in me. He's with me. He's with you. And he's our helper. He's our God. And in this time, we have got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit because he is the Spirit of truth. You're getting bombarded with untruth. You're getting bombarded with deception. So you need to stay close and be in tune with the Holy Spirit because he is the Spirit of truth, and he's going to guide you to all truth. He's going to bring things to your remembrance. In verse, let's see. It says in verse 14:26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance. And then over there in 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he will show you. Or that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, it says over there in Romans 8:14-16, that for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, in the Passion Bible there in verse 14, I like it says, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. It is so important that we be led and moved by the Holy Spirit during this time. I mean, He knows the way. He's going to speak the truth to you. When He hears the Father, He's going to speak to you, but you're going to spend time with Him. You know, I remember back when I was just learning how to hear His voice, you know, and be led by the Spirit. And, you know, this was long before GPS. Matter of fact, we had cell phone, I think, but they were still dumb phones. They weren't smartphones. You know, you call them, but that's about it. But I remember, you know, we were down, went to San Antonio, Texas. Went to, I believe, the youngest boy's graduation from the Air Force. I think down there from boot camp. And, you know, we knew about Rhema and thought, you know, it'd be cool, you know, maybe someday, you know, maybe we'd go. You know, our pastors were showing us things from camp meeting and different things going on down there at Rhema. And, you know, we was learning a little bit about that school and the church there. So anyway, we thought, well, we're down in San Antonio. We're coming up through Oklahoma. We should maybe just go by and see where it's at. And so, you know, silly us, you know, we didn't plan ahead too much, and we didn't get an address for where Rhema's at. All we knew was in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. That's all we knew. So we're coming up, and we're coming into Oklahoma. We're getting close, and we're going around the turnpike there. And it says, Broken Arrow, next 6 or 7 exits. Oh, what exit do we take? You know, it's like, we have no clue. We don't know where the address is. We don't know which exit to take. And we thought, you know, we thought, well, we don't know, but we know who does know. The Holy Spirit knows. I mean, we're just learning this stuff. We're not through. So, you know, we're just kind of praying in the Spirit, you know, just trying to listen to the Spirit. And we're going this one exit, and I'm thinking, no, this isn't, this doesn't bear witness. This isn't it. Go to the next exit. No, this isn't it. And we go a few exits, and then finally we come up to this exit, Kenosha. Yeah, this is it. This is it. We take this exit. So we take the Kenosha exit, not knowing where we're going. We turn on Kenosha, and we go a ways. And, you know, we think, okay, this is right, but you know, we're going a little ways, and we're not seeing Rhema yet. So, you know, we go to the gas station, look for directions. You know, we're already off of the guide of the Holy Spirit. We stop in there and say, hey, you know, do you know where Rhema Bible College is, you know, church? Oh, yeah, it's just right down the street. You just keep going about another block, and you're there. There we were. But like I say, we're just young. We're just, you know, I'm just learning this stuff. But there, He had us on the right track. I got off track for just a little bit. If I just kept the course, there I would have been right by it. But that's just one of my first experiences of that, so that's always stuck with me. It's like, man, the Holy Spirit can guide me. I mean, He can actually give me directions. I mean, he's GPS, you know, God's provided system. God's provided a system there. You can take that backwards, you know, the Spirit provides guidance. He is the original GPS, the Holy Spirit. But I think it's much, very important, you know, during this time that we be led by the Spirit. And I'm not going to go any further into that because I know, you know, Pastor had mentioned about, you know, some of that next week, and I'm sure he's probably going to be teaching on some of that. But those are two main themes I've seen in that, and I just wanted to share that with you tonight, that what I've seen in there, because, like I say, here he is about to be, you know, like you get to chapter 18, you know, he's being apprehended and going to the cross. But before that, he's telling his disciples two main themes there that I see: the love and the importance of the Holy Spirit. And I think, you know, in those days, I mean, they're about to be persecuted. The disciples are going to go out. Someone's going to be murdered for their faith and belief. And I think it's just good for us these days. I mean, we're being persecuted. The church being persecuted. And I think that's two good things to keep in mind. Number one is your love. I mean, that's something to keep in mind all the time. It should have been from the day you've been born again, is to love one another. And I think that's vital. But it's very vital, too, that we be led by the Spirit of God during these times. So, you know, instead of thinking of me, myself, and I, think about some of those people that are around you. I just want to, here in Galatians, I didn't share this. This kind of gives a picture. If we're not walking in love, but we're just walking in the flesh and in our feelings, this is what happens. It says the craving, this is in Galatians 5. Boy, that print's small. I think it says 19. The cravings, the light is not the greatest up here. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? But the fruit, I did leave this out. I did want to share this. And we talked about this a little bit last week. And I told you I was going to go back to 16 there. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. And this is why I skipped over John 15:16. I know this kind of jumped out at me, and I never put these two together, but it says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." And it says here, once again, "But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows." You know, during this time, I mean, people are depressed, people are suicidal, and all this thing. But if you have these fruits in you, you don't have to be that way at all. We have the Holy Spirit, and these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Peace that subdues. So I say I'm going to leave you on a higher note here, because some of us have been kind of patience that endures, kindness in action, in life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. That Holy Spirit is in you. Those fruits are in you. That love, God kind of love, is in you. It's just your choice to bring those things out. And I just say, well, as Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come that you have life and have it to a full. And it's your choice to choose that kind of life. Amen. I tell you, that's all I got then for now. I think that's a good place to stop. I mean, actually, I could tell you, I could go on for a while, but I think that's a good place to stop right there. But I hope you got something out of that. Pastors, let's see, Wednesday night, We'll still have our Wednesday night prayer with them. And they'll be back here next Saturday. Hope you are too. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So have a good week.